Chris Hipkins, Labor leader, is with us too for a kōrero. Hey, Chris, tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, Dale. Great to talk to you.
We were just talking about the old kōrawa from Nelson. I wonder if you too might reflect on, you know, eventually we get some gains. This has been one of the most hard-fought issues, and this kōrawa just wouldn't go away, would he? Now well in his 80s, and Rory Stafford is being celebrated, as he rightfully should, for what has occurred for the Nelson Tents. I guess you've been familiar with this one for some time, Chris. What's your thinking here as we acknowledge the third reading of the settlement legislation?
Oh, it was an incredibly significant day, and I think it does show that, you know, persistence, perseverance and dignity does pay off with these things. You know, this is quite different for Parliament because it's not a sort of conventional treaty claim of the sort that we've been dealing with. It's different, and it shows that, you know, if you keep persisting, if you continue to sort of uphold your dignity, then eventually you can get the government to do the right thing. And I think finally we've seen the government do the right thing.
Thank you. I was just talking with Chris Abercrombie from the PPTA. We were talking about the constant curriculum changes and how politicians now determining what needs to be done at the chalk face. Now, when you and Jacinda held sway, you ensured that our rangatahi would learn more about New Zealand history. And that encouraged a lot of our people because we think a fairer society would result in addressing intergenerational ignorance when it comes to the origins of our land and the history of. But then another outfit comes in, i.e. this coalition, and they decide that the treaty issues are not necessary at all in the learning environments in our schools and the like, and have said so to boards across the country. So where does that leave us now, Chris? What are you making of political interference in curriculum development, and would you reinstate the priority in addressing some of that ignorance by, again, advancing New Zealand history curricula within schools?
We've seen a level of politicisation of the school curriculum over the last 3 years that we've never seen before. Traditionally, whether it's a Labor government or a National government, when changes are being made to the school curriculum, there's a real effort to get everyone on board, to consult widely, to try and get a bit of consensus around that. Sure, the government sets the high-level direction, which is what we did when we said, actually, we want New Zealand history to be taught more in schools, and we want kids to learn about Te Tiriti, and we want them to learn about, you know, some of the early encounters and early experiences of New Zealanders, and we want them to learn about what significant, you know, monuments in New Zealand actually represent and all of those things. But then there's a lot of work to go, you know, into making sure that that's put together in a way that's balanced, that's neutral, and it's giving the kids the skills and the knowledge that they're going to need. That's not what this government are doing. They're basically sitting in their offices in Wellington and saying, well, we want kids to think like us, and so therefore we're going to indoctrinate them in the view of the world that we hold.
Tēnā koe, there are so many issues as we build up to November. We could dwell on Luxon Gate or whatever the hell happened last week there, but you know, I don't see that that's taking us forward too much. I am curious though about your attitude to Te Pāti Māori. Now, this is a potential left bloc coalition partner to come out of the blocks and say that you it's unlikely that they would have any senior roles in a future Labour-led coalition. Why did you feel it necessary to front foot that one publicly rather than perhaps keep it closer to your chest?
It's not really a change to the position that I've taken for some time, and you and I have talked about this before. I think Te Pāti Māori need to focus on sorting themselves out, sorting out their own internal conflicts, making sure that they know what it is that they're standing for and what it is that's important to them, and also that they're acting in a way that's going to help us to bring people together. One of the clear messages that I've heard from Māori up and down the country is that the division that's being fostered by this government is something that they just want to see an end to, and I don't want to see Te Pāti Māori sort of fostering that in the way that some of their own rhetoric has contributed to some of that backlash. So I want to focus on real unity and bringing people together. And Te Pāti Māori, you know, my message to them for the last, you know, year or so has just been, you guys just really need to sort yourselves out. I certainly haven't taken it off the table. I haven't said, you know, we can't work with you, but they need to sort themselves out first.
Yeah, but you're not exactly cultivating good relationships when you say, hey, listen, you can play in our sandpit, but you can't use the digger.
Oh, look, there's still a lot of water to flow under the bridge between now and, you know, when we might or might not have conversations after the election. But we're also, you know, pretty clear about the fact that we're going to be competing with them vigorously in all seven of those Māori seats. And we've got an outstanding range of candidates standing in those seats. So to some extent, it's up to Māori voters who they want to have representing them in the next parliament. And my message to them is if they want a strong voice in the next government, the way to do that is to vote Labour.
Tēnā koe. I was talking with Moana, who interviewed Helen Clark, that is, on her program earlier in the week. I said, have you forgiven Helen for what happened in the foreshore and seabed 20 years ago? And it just sort of reminds me of what's happened with Mike Smith here as the third reading of legislation to end his climate lawsuit against the major emitters has passed its third reading. A denial of due process or access to justice, do you think? Is it a reoccurrence of what happened back in 2004?
I think to some extent it's worse. The foreshore and seabed, I think, you know, I'm one of those Labour politicians that's absolutely willing to admit the then Labour government didn't get that right. And I think the work that Michael Cullen did with Christopher Finlayson, you know, in the key government to try and remedy that through the marine and coastal area legislation, which has again been messed around by a national government now. But I think that, you know, that was a real attempt to try and right that particular wrong. And we're going to have to look again after the next election at this issue around, you know, the repeal of the law that basically cancelled Mike Smith's very valid legal claim.
The Opportunity Party seems to be coming up through the middle somehow. And to be honest, some of the ideas that they've been floating have some appeal. And one of them is capped political donations. Now, I noticed that one of our richest men, plastic toy manufacturer guy, you know, whacked $250,000 into Nationals' coffers. And you've got to think that this holds some sort of sway, the ability to have more comprehensive campaigns as we move into November. Just a small example of how extra putia can help. I see Topper looking to cap political donations. Maybe it was 30 clicks or something I read. Have you given consideration here? And how do you describe the obvious imbalance when you got big players putting big money into political coffers, and other parties must sense that it's not a level playing field? Your thoughts on political donations, please, Chris.
The bottom line for me is that all politicians should be accountable to the people rather than to their donors. And I think there is room for reform in this area. I'm open to new ideas about, you know, how we can make the donations regime more transparent, more fairer for everybody participating in politics. You know, it's clear if you look at where, you know, follow the money, as the old saying goes. If you look at where the National Party and the ACT Party are getting their money, they are parties of privilege. They are parties of people who have a lot of money. They are not in it for everyday working New Zealanders.
To the state of the economy then. I had a chat with a Māori economist earlier in the program, Chris, flatlining it at best. And this is from an outfit that promised greater economic prosperity in their first term in Parliament. This is the same outfit that have passed more legislation than anyone else has ever seen. This is the outfit that we regard many as being the most hostile to Māori in living memory. And here we are with massive Māori unemployment and slump in housing ownership, all of those economic indicators that we want addressed. How do you describe the economic environment and how it has improved or not under this political regime?
Christopher Luxon and National said they were going to get the country back on track. What they didn't tell New Zealanders was that back on track meant prices still going up, unemployment increasing, businesses going into liquidation, and everything getting harder for everyday New Zealanders, which is what they've experienced in the last 3 years. And what they're promising, if they get three more years, is that there'll be more cuts, more pain and more higher prices for New Zealanders. So, you know, New Zealand can't afford three more years of this. it's a really important message that this election really matters. Everyone needs to make sure they're on the electoral roll, because the National Party is doing their very best to try and cancel as many people's votes as possible, particularly where they think that they're not going to vote for them. It's really important that people get there on the electoral roll so that they can get rid of this government.
Tēnā koe. Just finally, Te Pāti Māori strategy. Vote for our electorate. Maybe consider putting your party vote to the left block. Huhana said, "Oh well, I don't know what they're up to, but I just want two ticks." Would that be the same line that you'd use as well, Chris?
We're certainly campaigning vigorously for two ticks in every electorate across the country. We don't do these sorts of deals. The Labor Party's generally avoided doing that, and we're going to keep avoiding doing that. People should vote for the people to lead the government that they want to lead the government. And my message is, if you want to get rid of this government and you want a good, strong, unifying alternative, then give both of your votes to Labor.
Okay, 2 minutes till the news. Just finally then, I heard of cross-party infrastructural investment going forward. We're sort of used to the adversarial nature of New Zealand politics, where everyone tries to discredit each other's ideas. But in order to get major infrastructural work, and let's talk Second Harbour Crossing or a tunnel as an example, it does take long-term commitment. And what would you say of, at times, politics and politicians can work together? It would be encouraging to think that they could do that on more issues more regularly. But have you developed some sort of accord looking at long-term infrastructure that combines parties' attitudes and intent, Chris?
Yeah, I do think we need to have more bipartisan agreement over the longer term on infrastructure investment. The constant chopping and changing has to end. It's one of the reasons why everything takes so long, costs so much, and we generally get, you know, pretty poor outcomes from our investment in infrastructure. We've got to do that over the longer term. It's got to be more stable. Labor's committed to doing that. We're not just going to come into government and cancel everything that's underway just because it was started by the other side. That's what National did 3 years ago, and the country's still paying the price for that.
What's the bizarre billboard I saw? Vote Labor, life, more, live more tax. Vote National, life, live life to the max. I thought, who the hell wrote that one? And there's a billboard there.
I don't think anyone's living life to the max under National unless they're a billionaire. But, you know, the reality here is the National Party just keeps scaremongering about tax under Labor because it's the only thing that they've got. We most of what they're talking about is just complete lies. They're just making things up because they don't want to face the truth that they've failed to deliver what they said they were going to do, and all they've got to offer New Zealanders is more cuts, more pain and more higher prices.
Thanks again for your kōrero. I look forward to another one soon. Have a good day and a good week. Thank you.